This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and I'm sitting here with my co-host Whitney, and this is episode number 6 of Within the Trenches.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Yeah. So, how's everything been going?
Good. Ricardo, I kind of have a confession to make here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I hate to say it, but back in episode 1, right in the beginning of my interview, I made the incorrect statement that Grand Valley was a D1 school.
It is not?
It is not.
Oh,
it is
snap.
Not. It is a D2 school. It's my alma mater. I'm very embarrassed to say that I got this incorrect. There was only one person that noticed it, and it was my own father. He's pretty involved over at Grand Valley, and he just kind of said, "Really? You got that wrong?" And I said, "Well, you know what, Dad? I realized about 3 minutes after I said it that I had said it incorrectly, but Ricardo was in the middle of telling a story about how he stole his car." My dad was like,
Yeah.
And I was going to let it go. Nobody else had said anything. Until last night, when our two dear coworkers, Eric and Chad, had to call up here and harass me about it. So
messed up.
So I'd like to apologize to everybody for that, especially my sweet alma mater, but
what can you do, right?
It is what it is.
It has been a busy week or so. We've been in the news. The Holland Sentinel brought out an article, and Angela Cunningham of WZZM was here doing a story with us. So the show has really been blowing up. And this week's episode, we are sitting with two of Ottawa County's finest, and we have Jen and Crystal. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, a little tired.
Yeah, right.
But I'm sure you guys are as well because you guys were working, what was it, 7 to 7?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so Ricardo and I worked 12 hours last night. We worked from 5P to 5A, and Jen and Crystal just came up here now, and they had worked 7P to 7A, and it's about 8:30 right now on Friday morning, so we're all kind of dragging. They both got about a 97-ounce coffee in front of them. So if one of them starts clicking or something like that later doing Ebonics, then that's
yeah, that's why it's about the coffee.
Yeah.
But all of us, you know, all the dispatchers listening that are night shifters, we all know what this is about and that we can stay awake as long as we have to, if need be, of course. But, you know, this episode is really about your guys' story. So, Jen, how did you get into dispatching? How did it all start? What brought you to this?
Well, I actually kind of fell into it.
Mm-hmm.
I did daycare for 10 years prior to this, and I finished my associate's degree at MCC and just started looking around a little bit.
MCC is at Muskegon Community College?
Yeah. And
nice.
Then I lived in Holland, south side of Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, I saw the ad in the paper and I thought, well, you know, I'll go ahead and put in my application. And I got a call for the testing and went and did the testing. And after the testing, I thought, oh, my gosh, that's too bad because I did really bad. And then they called me for the interview and I came for the interview and they said, you know, I did the interview on the way home. I thought, oh, that's too bad because I feel like I did really bad. And then they called and offered me the job.
Oh, that's great.
So it just kind of fell into it. And I, you know, I walked into dispatch. I walked into the environment really not knowing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was basically familiar with the Holland Police Department and that was that. Outside of that, I knew absolutely nothing. Not really anything about our county, even.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, I was pretty local to Holland City and the north side of Holland. So I knew almost nothing coming in.
Wow. What was the testing like?
The testing was, it was like classroom testing. And we did some, you know, we did some mapping where you have to kind of decide the priority of where you're going to send things to.
Ah.
We did some listening to calls where you listen and.
Right.
Then you have to retain that information and give that information back and be able to keep numbers straight and type quickly enough and just kind of your reaction time.
Wow, that's a lot different from the testing that I did. When I did my testing here, all I had was a written, actually, and it was
Wasn't that like 1981, though?
Yeah, something like that when I was born. Man.
I was trying to age you a little bit, but I think
whatever.
I went
D1 athletics.
Oh no! But it started.
Yeah, so the testing is completely different. Yeah, all I had was a written, and when I took that, I thought the same thing like you were thinking. Man, I jacked that up. I'm not gonna make it. But yeah, I was in the same boat with you. So then, how long have you been doing this now?
Been doing it 4.5 years.
4.5 years.
Yep.
Which is interesting because you can, somebody does a job for 4.5 years, and usually after about 2 years in a job, you're really, I don't want to say you're really good at your job, but really strong, really comfortable. But in dispatch, you have people that have been dispatching for 25 years, and they'll still gladly say, I learned something new today.
Absolutely.
I had no idea.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So. I heard it all the time in training, too.
Right.
And I think it was a year. Back then, it was about a year of training for us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely shortened up now. But once I got through, I was hired as part-time. And so then I was offered a full-time job with the state. And I actually went casual at Ottawa County.
Okay.
And worked full-time for the state Monday through Friday,
mm-hmm.
8 to 5. And, man. Every holiday off. And
nice.
So, yeah. Oh, I think I got goosebumps.
I know. That's,
wow.
You did.
Did you see that?
Wow. That's, yeah.
But you know what? Nothing can compare to, it's like once it gets in your bloodstream or something, dispatch,
right.
Once it gets in there, it's all it's what you want to do. And I felt like I hadn't finished what I started out mm-hmm. there, because you're just not comfortable yet. So as soon as a right. full-time position opened up, which was just about 3 months.
Okay.
I came back full-time. And, working every night, working holidays, I love what I do. So.
Yeah. And it's nice because, I know us here in Allegan and you up in Ottawa, we work 12. So we do get a chunk of time
yes.
off
mm-hmm.
as well. It's not like we're just stuck with Saturday, Sunday. We get that little, sometimes we get that big stretch in there, which is nice. Crystal, what about you? Let's first talk how long you've been doing this for.
2.5 years.
2.5 years. How'd you get started?
Somewhat fell into it as well. I have my bachelor's in criminal justice from Grand Valley.
The D1 school?
The D1 school, yes. That
nice.
One. So I was interested in law enforcement, criminal justice type things to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I had applied throughout the county in various different positions and that sort of thing, and nothing
yeah.
was really panning out as far as getting a job. And again, I just saw this one listed and decided to apply and thought it kind of fit what I had been kind of looking for in a way.
Did you start out as part-time as well, or was it a full-time position that was posted? And
at the time, well, training is full-time.
Okay.
But the position mm-hmm. itself is part-time.
Is that how it is? Everyone starts in Ottawa County, or does it just depend on what your
for
needs
are
at the time?
Part, I think
everybody kind of starts part-time. Interesting.
And I was filling in somewhat on a full-time basis depending on who was gone and,
mm-hmm.
and the needs that needed to be filled on the floor. And then shortly after that, I've been offered full-time, so I've been full-time for just over a year now.
Okay.
So
it's nice. Okay. I have a burning question I have to ask you guys right in the beginning. And I've said this 1,000 times in our dispatch center. And I said, I got to ask them at some point. So what a perfect time. Why do you guys never use your names when you call us? We always laugh because we get a call from you guys. You say, hey, it's Ottawa. And I always say, hey, you.
I know. I never know who to say. Like when we spoke, you're like, hey, Hi. I was like, hello. And it's Crystal. I was like, oh, hey, that's hi.
We're never sure how many people are
yeah.
working in your center. So we're
you
like, yeah,
what?
I just talked to one of you.
I never thought of it before, but we don't.
No.
We
and
don't use our name.
I get that you don't, sometimes people are like, I'm not comfortable using it with my name with a caller, which I mm-hmm. understand that. But sometimes, when I'm calling or I get a call back from you guys, I'm like, hey, oh, I don't.
Yeah.
I have no idea who I talked to up there. She was nice.
Yeah.
She said hello.
Yeah,
I think
very
she said
pleasant.
Hello twice.
Mm-hmm. Very easy to understand.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. We'll say somebody over at Lean is like, who did you talk to over there at Ottawa? I talked to Ottawa.
Ottawa. They said, hey, this is Ottawa. So I said, hey, this is Allegan? Whitney?
Yeah. AMR does the same thing. When we call over there, they'll just say, AMR. I'm like, oh. Sometimes they'll say their first names or they'll just say, hi, Allegan.
That's
like,
the worst one.
You're like, a creeper.
Yeah, they say, hi, Allegan. And I say,
the same thing.
Hey,
hi,
this
Ottawa.
Is Whitney with Allegan.
Yeah. You took away my thunder.
Never mind. But, okay, so that's not a policy or anything like that.
No.
No,
it's just,
it didn't ever dawn on me
that well, we do look that. Along the horizon now.
Now I will
let
start.
It dawn.
Yeah.
I'm going to start saying my name all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
start
so funny.
Saying Crystal's name, John.
I'm going
you
to.
Can start saying, hey, this is Crystal.
Yeah. And then we'll do the same
yeah.
on the other end.
But when I call up there, I'm going to say, hey, this is Crystal from Ottawa.
see what happens.
Right. I think that would be a lot of fun, entertaining.
That would be good. We'll just make sure to forward all our calls up to you guys.
Right.
Yeah.
You can take everything from
well,
now on.
Right. We don't have our special switch that we have to turn everything over. It actually goes to Barry,
down,
but
yeah.
maybe we can reroute it somehow.
I think they'd be okay with it. I don't think anybody's heart would be broken.
Yeah. So, when you guys were when you were doing your training, did you have someone shadowing you, or how did it exactly work? I mean, did like here we have our people, they start out in the training coordinator's office, and there's, you know, different computers and stuff to learn the CAD system and everything else. And then they go and they sit and watch a few phone calls and then off to the lions.
Our training, when I went through it, our training system was we did like a month of classroom training.
Uh-huh.
And then we went in and you know, which really encompassed, like, we did ride-alongs. We went out and did some tours, you know.
Like
in
the geo-rides, yeah. looking at mm-hmm. landmarks
and
stuff.
Then we did, you know, medical training. And then we started with non-emergency calls,
mm-hmm.
then 911 calls. And then we moved into, like, the different dispatch, city dispatch, county dispatch, fire.
Cool.
So our training program is being revamped a little bit.
Yeah.
And Crystal was even in a different training program than I was.
Really?
Oh, gotcha.
And now we're, you know, now we're changing it again. So
had you guys trained with anybody else, or was it just a single person one-on-one training with a training coordinator?
I don't know exactly how it was for Jenny. When I did it, we switched trainers about every 4 weeks.
Okay.
So it's kind of how we do it here then.
Yeah, we had a rotation and just kind of went around, like she said, to the different desks. I don't know. Did you have as
yes.
many different trainers? Okay.
Yep. Not as many as you did.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Why would you do?
I was probably bad.
Were you fist fighting again? Just
right,
kidding.
Right in dispatch. You don't tell me what to do.
I just like to put it out there right now that she did throw a pen at me.
Again?
Oh, it's all
she
out now.
Violent, so just be careful.
Yeah, so yeah. careful. Everybody who says, well, you know, do you think I have it to be a dispatcher? I'd probably wear a face shield or, you know, mouth guard at
right?
least.
You've heard it here first. If you're trying to get into the profession, wear a mask or bring a shield. So your first, let's say, you know, think back when you were in training, that first 911 call, was it nerve-wracking? Like, were you kind of sweating, or were you just like, no, this is what I got to do, and you were all about it?
I was driving. We were in Grand Haven then when I first started, mm-hmm. and I remember driving from Holland to Grand Haven, and I would be in the car going.
Did you just shoot up 31 that way?
Yeah, and I would say the whole way, Ottawa 911. I'd pretend like I was answering the phone the whole time in the car.
That's awesome.
And I'd be like imagining scenarios in my head, and I'd be out loud going,
"That's
where is
awesome
your emergency?
Though.
What is your address and your telephone number? And
if it's convenient, may I please have your nearest crossroad?
Can you repeat that for verification, please?
Exactly. On my screen, I'm showing this is your telephone number.
Can you repeat it back for me? So, and then also with license plates and things like that,
yeah.
you would do, you know, you would practice your
phonetic alphabet too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right, trying to say it back to each other.
Yeah, then you got the officers that are saying B Boston.
Yeah.
They're the B Boston.
B Baker. Sorry, Central.
Yeah.
We had
B
that
boy.
Last night. It's gonna be Baker Char boy.
Yeah.
He always says Baker,
is that
and I think
what it
somebody
is?
Had mentioned it to him. Like, hey, I don't know if you learned that in the academy, but we use boy, you know, here and
yeah.
you noticed that last night.
Kind of. Yeah, it was funny.
What about you, Crystal? When you took that first 911 call, what, did you feel like you wanted to throw up, or were you just like, I'm going to take this, I got this under control?
No, I think I was nervous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Training was educational,
okay,
to say the least, but it was also overwhelming at times.
Absolutely.
So I think when it actually got to be me doing the actual job, mm-hmm. it was like, whoa, what did I get myself into here?
Can you remember one of your first 911 calls that's real significant in your mind? It doesn't have to be the worst one or the most interesting one you've ever taken, but do you remember one of the first couple ones where you were like, this is a real 911 emergency? Because we all know that, you know, not every call that comes in on 911 is an emergency, is it?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Jenny and I were talking about things on the way here uh-huh. and kind of working over a few ideas and I was telling her one of the ones that's memorable early on, I had taken a call for a medical.
Okay.
A man had called and said that his mother-in-law was having a stroke, I believe it was. And I was going through EMD like I was supposed
to.
That
a girl.
Mm-hmm. And
for those listening that don't know, EMD stands for Emergency Medical Dispatch. It's a protocol that most counties, you know, when they pick it up, their medical control has gone over it. Their attorneys have looked at it or whatnot. So it's a safety net for us. If we follow this EMD protocol, we kind of get saved a little bit if anything goes real, real wrong. Keep going.
So I was going through the questions with him. And he was saying to me, this is ridiculous. I don't know why you're asking these questions. She needs help right now. Would you send them now? I'm not going to answer any of your questions. And in the meantime, I had already hit enter in CAD. It was being dispatched across the room by my coworkers. Mm-hmm. And I tried to tell him that, and he just, you know, didn't understand what was going on. And eventually, I think he ended up hanging up on me
in the middle
of all the questions. But he didn't even have any concept of what was going on in the room
or
the fact that I wasn't the only one and my partners were sending help.
Right.
You're this fresh dispatcher. That was kind of tough to say. And you're thinking, I'm just trying to help you.
Yes.
Want to yell into the phone there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember one of my first calls. Mm-hmm. It was called in by a third party caller, suicidal. So we call back.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Call the person. And I called and I said, first of all, I gave my name. Okay, which, you know, we don't do there at Ottawa.
Yeah,
so.
I know, right? Liar. Look at Jen's first lie of the day.
Yeah. This is Jenny from 119.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
oh, you really said that?
I said it.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
Oh,
man. I was so worked up. It was my first one.
119. Yeah, we're kind of like the sister station to 911. Yeah.
Can you hold on a minute? Can you rewind? Can you call right back really quick? I got it down this time.
My trainer was probably like, oh
man.
Yeah, I really messed up. I mean, with that phone system, I called, you know, one time I answered the phone and it went on the intercom all over the Grand Haven Department of Public Safety. And there I am going, Ottawa 911. Ottawa 911. And my trainer
just
trying to get across the room.
In the car.
Hitting the, yeah. Just as I had practiced, trying to hit the, she's going, no, stop. Oh,
that's it. We were talking about open mics on one of the other episodes, and I had told Ricardo, I said, the next time it comes up, I got to bring it up. When I wear a headset, you can plug it into two different spots in our consoles. And there's one spot, which I didn't know, but if you plug it in, it's an open mic. Well, I was on Fire East, so the entire east side of our county, all the fire departments in those 12 townships, I had an open mic. Well, I was talking to somebody that was going to pick up a deer that had been hit. They were going to pick it up and process it, and I had just plugged in my headset, and I put my headset on, and I called them and said, hey, I have a deer available. Kind of went through it, and I paused for a second, and I was trying to tell him. He said, you know, is it a little one? Is it worth picking up? And I said, no, it's huge. And then all of a sudden, Waylon Fire Chief, one of the townships over there, he called and he said, hey, Whitney's got an open mic. Everybody can hear. I think, did he call you? Was it you?
I don't remember. I remember the incident.
Yeah, somebody looked at
it. It was great.
I think it was Carl, one of our other dispatchers. I think that's who it was. And he's like, hey. Waylon said you got an open mic, and I looked, and sure enough, it was just bright red. I was keyed up on it, and so I get that feeling, to be like just yelling, talking to everybody all over your building.
Oh man, one of my first calls that I took, actually my very first one, I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. My trainer says, "Okay, the next one's yours." I'm like, really? Yeah, it's yours. Okay, so I'm sitting there, and I've always described for myself, taking a 911 call, like getting in the car, slamming the gas, and just letting go of the steering wheel because it can be intense. So the call comes in. I see the red light pop up, incoming call. I said, that's mine? They're like, yeah, that's yours. I'm like, ah, okay. So I pick it up and Allegan 911, where's your emergency? And there's just screaming and screaming. I was like, oh man, this is nuts. And we had an older CAD system. I don't know if you guys are using the AS400 still, or which one you guys are using. Well, I was told differently than a while ago that you guys were using that. Anyway, it was, it's an older CAD system, but I was still, I got flustered and I mixed up the CADs. So all these windows were popping up, and I look over at my trainer. Bing, I was like, bing, I can't do bing, this. Bing, I can't bing, do this. I said, I need you to break into this. She's like, no, you got it. You got it. I was like, okay. And I I ended up getting it fine, and you know, I finished the call, but yeah, nerve-wracking. Oh geez, it's all sweating and everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to take a break. I'm like, no, because I'm never gonna learn. I'm never gonna get this if I don't keep going.
No, if I take a break, I'm gonna get in my car and peel out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I will be back. Out of here. So I'm curious, because I know we've done it many times ourselves, but is there ever a time that you guys have taken a call that it turns out that it's on Allegan's side and you're thinking, ooh, yeah, it's oh, on yeah. the other side.
You transfer it and you say, sorry, suckers. And then you go back to playing free cell.
Transfer yeah. and say, this is Ottawa.
Yeah. Is that yeah, with the transfer?
We know.
What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Who is Ottawa this in Ottawa?
Who in Ottawa is it? That's at least you guys say that you're from Ottawa. There's some other neighboring counties that I will not say right now that that they don't say anything. I mean, all you hear is the click, and someone's like,
like, I just told you my
what's
address.
Going on? Like, I just got transferred from who? And then they'll say, which I won't say, but yeah, there's never, you know, they don't say who they are. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll continue now. But yeah, there have been times where, especially in the summer, where we'll get boating calls or something, and they'll say, yeah, we're over by the Highland Pier. Oh, all
okay,
right.
Bye.
Hold on a minute. This is Allegan with the transfer. What? Yeah. Wait.
For our listeners, the Highland Pier is very much right on the edge, but it's all just into Ottawa. So if you have somebody that says, oh, there's just a boat that just crashed into the wall at the channel or whatever, hold on, I'm going to transfer you up to Ottawa just a second.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always good.
Did you get that boat into the wall with about 15 patients in the water? No? Okay, you're going to get about 6,000 calls in a minute. Good luck.
No, that's good, though, that, you know, I've always wondered that, because that's how we feel sometimes. So if you guys do the same thing, I'm sure other dispatchers are going to be listening to this will think, yeah, we do the exact same thing. As soon as a call comes in and it goes to a different county, yes.
Exactly. Especially if it's a suicidal or whatever, and you start getting the information and the third party caller is looking for an address or whatnot, and you're typing it all in there and your partner's getting ready to tone it out over the radio or whatnot, and you transfer it over and you just want to type in there, you're welcome, so that the person on the radio sees it.
Yes, and we are joking about this, but they are serious calls. It's just we have so many calls that are coming in at the time as well. It's a little bit of a relief for us to be able to pass mm-hmm. it to the right county.
It's usually because right it's a very time-consuming call. It's that we don't love it's not that we don't love our jobs or that we can't handle the calls. It's just that some of these things, it's incredible. I mean, you have to get, for a boating accident, you have to get multiple ambulances. You have to get the Coast Guard en route. It's just a lot of work. So if, you know, we're busy doing other stuff on our end.
Yeah.
We got enough going on in our county.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you guys work on the same team? Or how do your teams work? Because I think I saw a schedule once where it looked like you had like 5 or 6 different teams or something, or maybe even more than that.
We have 4 main crews.
4 main crews?
Yep. And it's same with the county, our county officers.
Do you go that same rotation with them?
Same rotation, yep. So that's we're always nice. Working with the same officers and same people on the street. So it's nice to be able to have a working relationship with them where right. you know them well enough to exchange information.
How they
and
like
help
it.
Each other out. Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Some of them want everything, and some of them only want the bare minimums. Yep. How many people do you have working minimum at a time in your center?
Usually it's 4.
4 minimum?
Supervisor.
Okay. Your supervisor, are they on the line? Are they taking phone calls, or are they supervising? Usually, are they walking around? Or
usually supervising, but if there's overflow or if the phone's ringing, they'll pick it up usually. So they're really good at helping us out.
That's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is always good, because us here, I'm one of the supervisors, and we work on the line all the time. I have 4 hours of offline time that is set aside for other things, but not everybody does it. So, yeah, it's good to know, you know, how you guys do things, because myself and another supervisor were going to go and actually sit on a night shift with you guys to see how you guys do things, how your supervisors work. And actually, for a while there, we were looking at a completely new schedule. So we're trying to figure out, you know, what kind of mm-hmm. schedules do you guys go on?
We have our 4 main crews, our 7 to 7, and then we have on each of the half of the month.
Each side.
I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. We have a 1 to 1 and an 11 to 11.
I got it. Those floaters that kind of go in there and pick up. Yep. We're like overflow. Like, we have minimum 3 people staffing in here, but then, you know, there's a blip in the night there, and then on weekends that we have to have at least 4 in here. And we're finally getting our staffing levels up high enough. Sometimes there's five people in here, but
yeah, even that nice. Sometimes. Is...
Yeah, sometimes, especially with big events and stuff. What kind of big events do you guys have up there? I know, you know, Grand Haven will have a lot of stuff.
Grand Haven has Coast Guard. Uh-huh. Holland has Tulip Time in May.
If you ain't Dutch, you ain't much.
You guys have the officers on all the segues, which look really cool, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Utilize some of that extra resources. The other one that's big in Marne is the Berlin Fair.
Oh, up the raceway up there?
Yep, and they bring and Speedway extra reserves out and stuff for that. And we don't do, I don't think, a whole lot of extra staffing for that, but I know they do for the road cars. They have some of the reserves come out. Trying to think if there's anything other than that.
I just ask because, you know, when people think of the counties on the lake, or like in West Michigan, they usually just think of the lakeshore stuff. So people think of Grand Haven and Holland. Here they think of, you know, Saugatuck and South Haven.
Yep.
But there's, you know, a whole lot more that goes on in the county too. So I wasn't sure. I had forgotten about Berlin up there.
Yep. It's usually in the middle of the summer when it's really, really hot.
And it gets really, really rowdy, I bet.
Yeah. It can be.
I'm sure alcohol's not involved, though, with racing cars.
No, not at all.
Mm-mm, no.
How do you guys work your, do you guys do, like, forced overtime? Like, do you guys ever do any forced?
No.
Man.
Are you kidding me?
We're going to have to go up to Ottawa. Yeah.
It's usually all done by, you know, they'll put up sheets that will say we need these overtime slots filled, and then.
What if someone calls in, though?
If somebody calls in, they'll call us. They'll go down the list.
What if nobody covers that?
It usually doesn't happen. Sometimes a supervisor will come and cover it.
This is why we need cameras in here.
Usually someone is willing to pick it up, though.
Yeah.
You know,
that's really nice. Now, when they call down your list, do you guys answer the phone right away and say, hey, you know, thanks for double checking, but I'm not interested right now? Because in here in Allegan, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but everybody lets it go to voicemail. Nobody. I mean, I had to call down for overtime the other day, and it was at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I think it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and one of our partners answered, and I was like, "Whoa!" And she's like, "Whoa!" I didn't realize what was going on. I just picked up the phone because if everybody says no, then that one person who picked up the phone, they're forced in. No questions asked. They have to come in and cover that shift.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I just was wondering if that worked the same way on your end.
We have a couple of people that will answer the phone. I think the majority. We'll let it go to voicemail.
Okay.
I think a lot of that is you want to hear what the hours are, what you're looking at. Right. So you can call in and say, hey, I can pick up the 3 to 11 or I can pick up, you know, 11 to 7. That's going to work. You know, that's going to work for me if you can fill the other half.
It also depends, I think, what's going on, because if they call for an overnight or a night shift and it's, you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not up yet. I'm still sleeping. So
do you have kids?
No.
Do you, Jen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, yeah, you're like Ricardo. He's, you know, he has a schedule. He has to be on, help out his wife and stuff. But my husband and I don't have kids yet, so this is awesome.
As much sleep as possible.
Yeah, I text my husband to let the dogs out this morning.
Right?
Do you sleep? Do you get enough?
I do, because my son is 15.
Oh.
My older son is 20. So.
I have an 8-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Don't act like that's anybody's fault but yourself.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Crystal to go through that. Going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, yay, losing sleep. I can't wait.
Exactly.
I'm going to call Jenny. She's going to come babysit.
Well, you know, you have, what did you say? You have 10 years of daycare experience before?
Yeah.
And I kind of chuckled to myself because I thought, yeah, you know, working with toddlers, that's a lot like taking phone calls from drunk people. You know, toddlers are like little drunk people. They stumble. They slur their words. They don't make sense sometimes. They make a mess with their food. I had plenty of college roommates that were just like that. So, yeah, you have a lot of experience with that. I bet your patience on the phone is a little bit different than some other people's.
Yeah, how do you
background.
Do it? How do you do it? How do you keep your patience with callers? Because that's one thing that I've always been interested in as well, because I'll get people that call in and they're swearing at me and yelling at me, and I'm biting my lip because I know I can't say anything back, and I try to be as nice as I can. Mm-hmm. But how do you deal with it?
Well, I just have to say, Crystal is always nice. So
is she?
She is.
I heard she throws stuff at people.
You know what? That's
right. Yeah.
But you know what? I think Jen lied earlier too. So yeah.
No, I think really, I think the more you do it, the more control you have over that, and you just want to get the information and, you know what I mean, get the information that you need and move on with the call, you know, get the help that they need and be done with it. I think that I try just to stay focused on what I can get from them and, you know, what I what I can. If they're calling me names, I try not to, you know, take it personally.
You try not to call them names back.
Right. I cry a little bit afterwards. Right.
They called 119. It was so bad. Is there a call that sticks out in your head where you remember, you know, I know we all try to be professional. I had mentioned it when we did our news story with WZZM. People don't call 911 all the time. You know, you hear the story or you hear the statistic, whether it's accurate or not, 20% of the population utilizes 911 80% of the time or whatever. But is there a time you remember thinking that person was just a jerk? Is there anything like that you've had a really big learning experience, or has everything just kind of, you let it go in one ear and out the other?
I think it more in the beginning, like I said, I would take things a little bit more personally. Okay. And take calls and just be like almost when I got off, where I was like, what did I say that was, you know, like,
it was yeah.
take it very
mean.
Personal. Okay. Mean to
me. And so I got a little bit tougher skin.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes
I find if people are saying stuff to me that's mean, or if it's inaccurate and I know it's not right, if they say, well, you told me this, when I hang up the phone with them, I play our callback log, and just to make sure I listen to it, and I'm like, wait for it. I knew I didn't say that.
Right.
I knew I didn't say that.
Yeah. Just to be sure.
Yeah. Crystal, what about you? Is there anything that you remember just being like, you are a mean person, once you hung up the phone?
Not specifically, I don't think. But again, like Jenny, just starting out, it's hard to take some of that, the words that they say and the things that they call you. I'm like, really? You're calling for help? And and you're using that tone. And at this point, I just kind of let it go.
Have you ever had anybody call back and apologize for being mean?
I have actually had spoke to a couple of the deputies that were on the road, or officers mm-hmm. responding, and said, you know, that the caller was really kind of rough with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was doing my best to help. And I've had a couple of them come back and say, you know, they apologized. You know,
yeah,
it's good. Yeah, it's good.
It's an educational thing for them, too. We mm-hmm. have to ask these questions because, you know, our biggest right. thing is going to be that responder safety or whatnot. And, you know, I don't care if you get offended if I ask if you've been drinking or using drugs, or I'm going to ask it. And right. I might mm-hmm. ask it a couple of times because I don't believe you the first
Sometimes
time around.
Sometimes I even explain that to them if they're getting upset with me.
Yeah.
Why are you asking if I've been drinking? What does it matter to you? Well, I'm asking for my officer safety because mm-hmm. that's important to me. So I need you to answer my question.
Yeah, because you told me you're walking around your front yard with a machete. So I just want to know if you're drunk on top of it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we want to do here. We want the people who are listening to this to understand that, you know, the stories that you just told, you know, the people calling in and yelling at us and everything, and then us wondering, okay, I'm just, you know, I was trying to help you. I don't know why you're so upset. I'm hoping that people will learn to just be more patient. I mean, I actually have a friend, I won't say his name, but I have a friend who sent me an email the other day, and he had said that he was in an accident, and he'd called 911, and, you know, they were asking all these questions, and that he was being, you know, impatient himself. But he said that after listening to our, you know, first few episodes that we've had, that he now understands why we do what we do and why we're asking. And he thanked me for that, or us, you know, mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hoping we can do for everybody who's going to listen to this, to really learn from what we do, the behind the scenes of everything. Just a couple of days ago, I took a phone call from a guy who's he had a relative who was suicidal. Well, I'm asking him questions, and he didn't know the address. He didn't know another relative who lived just across the street. I mean, there's a lot of things that he should have known that he didn't know. And he was getting frustrated with me, and he started yelling at me, saying, "You're really pissing me off." And I said, "Sir,
the feeling's mutual."
I said, "Sir, I'm not trying to get you upset. I said, I'm asking you these questions because you don't know where this person is at. And I have to try to run any type of search that I can so that I can find him and help him." And he says, "Well, why didn't you say that in the first place?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of obvious that I'm asking you all these questions for a reason, but..."
But it's,
you know,
a good
learning
experience.
I just had to explain it.
Obvious to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, people will be able to learn from all
this. When they get upset like
this.
That, though, I try and remember that they're calling not because they're having a good day, because they're having a bad
You're
day.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Right.
I just try and keep that in the back of my mind, because I'm there to help them. And, you know, what they say in the heat of the moment may not matter later on.
So. And they're so flustered and whatnot that you have to ask them that same question like 8 times over.
So if you have we've all taken, you know, domestic calls and everything. How do you guys, what kind of techniques do you guys use to, when someone's screaming and screaming and screaming that you can't get through to them? You know, just saying, hello, hello, can you hear me? Is there anything that you guys do specific? Because I know for myself, if they can't hear what I'm saying, I will bring my voice down to almost a whisper so that, you know, kind of trick them to make them think that there's nobody there no more. And then they'll say, hello, is there anybody there? And then I can jump right in. Do you guys do something similar, or, I mean, do they teach you guys anything, you know, during your training at all, or anything that you can think of, really?
Not specifically from training. Mm-hmm. But I tend to do the same thing. I have a quiet voice anyway.
Okay.
Dispatch.
I've been told that too many times.
I have too.
I don't believe you.
Jen, you're the liar up here. Knock it off. Or wait, that D1 thing, I forgot. Keep going, Crystal.
So I tend to have a quiet voice anyway, so mm-hmm. that kind of helps in those sort of calls, that sort of situation. Works to my advantage in a lot of ways, because, again, they're saying, hello, is anyone there? Hello? I'll be like, yeah, so I'm going to ask you some questions so I can get you some help.
Right.
And then I just kind of jump into it.
Nice.
What about you, Jen?
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing, just kind of being quiet, just kind of listening for what you can hear in the background.
Right,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe in the meantime, just trying to find out everything
yeah,
you
what
can
a great
about
thing.
What's, you know, what's coming in, where the phone's coming from, where the GPS is hitting, everything you can to get somebody.
Or trying to get names if they're yelling back mm-hmm. and forth at mm-hmm. each other. Yeah, that's a really good point. If you can't get anything else from them, just start documenting what you can hear.
Yep.
Yeah, that's always the best thing. Throw it all in the narrative. You know, usually when I do QAs and it's immediately the phone call starts out with screaming and screaming and nobody's getting through. When I'm doing the quality assurance, all I hear is the typing, the typing, the typing, the typing. Mm-hmm. And I can see there's like three pages full because no one ever says anything. It's like they just set the phone down. But, right. You know, that's... For, you know, people who don't know exactly, that's what we do. You know, we have to think of any little thing that we can do to, you know, get that information in there for the officers that are going out there. For 911 calls, how would you explain a 911 call? Like for you, like I explained mine was like, you know, slamming the gas down and letting go. To you, what is it like to take a 911 call, Jen?
Gosh, I don't know how to
answer. We didn't discuss that one on the way down.
I've told people before that it's kind of like, you know, when you have your trainer there with you, I found it's a trial by fire type of thing where they're going to shove you off that ledge, but you know there's a net to catch you. And I feel like that still, you know, I'm comfortable when I take 911 calls, but I still feel like that with my partners. Sometimes I feel like I am free falling. I know I'm going to mm-hmm. stop sooner or later. I always have my partners to lean on, but it's that kind of feeling of just, that's how I picture it as. Do you just go into it real, like, I got this? Or do you ever feel like, whew, when you pick up those 911 calls?
I think no matter what, I mean, I've only been doing this 2.5 years. We have people that have been doing it for 12, 15, 20 years. There's always mm-hmm. going to be a call that you just don't know what's going on, don't mm-hmm. know how to deal with it, don't know what to enter right away, depending on what you hear on the other end of the phone.
Isn't that interesting? You think, is this a civil? Is this something that people are just really heated? Or, you know, somebody about to get clobbered on the
other
end.
You almost get thrown off. Like,
yeah.
I agree. Yes.
I
agree.
Like, wait a second, yeah. I'm off my game.
And as comfortable as we are in answering the phone just to begin with on a day-to-day basis, there's always going to be, I think, you know, a call every now and then that you just don't know what to do with, mm-hmm. no matter how long you've been dispatching.
Exactly.
Is there anything really funny that you guys have? Any really good calls lately? Anything that's happened out on the road?
I don't know if there's anything particularly... funny. It's so hard to remember because, you know, that's the first thing people want to know is what kind of calls you take. And the longer that I've been there, like I walk out the door and I'm like, and I'll come back the next night mm-hmm. and somebody will say, hey, do you remember, you know, what happened, you know, that happened yesterday? And I'm like, huh?
Who?
What are you talking about?
You look over your shoulder. Are you talking to me?
Like, I don't remember yesterday. So it's, you know, you just take less and less home with you the longer that you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think also what I've noticed the longer I've done it, my blood pressure used to go up a lot
mm-hmm.
for a lot of calls. Now it's just the serious ones where I can feel like everything.
Right. You start to become the sweaty kid.
You know,
I've definitely gone through that myself.
Oh, me too.
Where you start taking off, you know, taking off everything.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is a good one. Just taking off
your hair,
a jacket.
Sideways ponytail, you got your headset on, and you're trying to.
So, yeah, I don't know. Have you taken anything funny lately?
While you're thinking about it, I'll tell you, we had a city officer in Wayland, newer guy's pretty young, and he's just patrolling. I think, you know, everybody's vehicle was getting stuck. I don't know if his had gotten stuck that day, but I mean, it was just one of those things where it was snowing so hard and everybody was just taking it really slow, doing a lot of accident reports or whatnot. And he keyed up to our Ricardo and I's partner on Prime, and he said, oh, no, he said it to me. That's right.
Yeah, it was to you.
He said, he identified himself and called Central, and I said, go ahead. And he said, I'll be out with an obscene snowman. And instead of using like a 10 code to, you know, repeat your traffic, I'm not clear. I just keyed up and I said, a what? I thought that's what he had said, but I thought there's no way that's what's going on.
Yeah.
He keyed back up and he said, yeah, I'll be out at the middle school with an obscene snowman. And I kind of want to key up afterwards and say, you're going to need status checks?
Yeah.
And then I get a message. He's pretty quiet. I get a message from him later on in the night. He sends an MCT message to my computer. And he said, I had to crawl to the top of a 15-foot snow pile and knock its parts off. Little stuff like that. That's, you know, and I've started documenting. I keep a little running list so that on the show here, when we're talking about stuff, we have other things that we can bring up. But you're right, though. You go home sometimes and you forget that stuff, and it'll come back to you three weeks later, and you think, oh, mm-hmm. my goodness, that's right.
Right.
We probably should have told you guys to think of that stuff, you know, a couple weeks ago, so you could have started
compiling our list.
Yeah, we got you guys, didn't we?
Yeah, watcha. Is there anything that either one of you can think of that a message, I guess, that you would want to leave the public, something to help them as well as us, you know, make the whole process of a 911 call easier?
I would just say, you know, we on the other end, that's our job, is to help. That's what we're there for. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. when we're not there to make any decision on who's at fault in an accident or in a domestic situation or anything like that, I mean, that it doesn't have an effect. We're just there to help. And, mm-hmm. you know, everybody there likes what they do. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's important. It's also we're in a job where we're expected to really kind of be 100% of the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just, you know, and if you're not 100%, there's somebody sitting next to you that's going to make you be 100%. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's going to catch that and say, you know, we need to do it this way. Or
I guess also for me, it's important for people to remember that I'm asking the questions for a reason. I'm not there. I can't see what's going on. Neither mm-hmm. can my officers, because they're not there yet either. I need to get all the information I can so they have a mental picture of what they're walking into, whether it's a civil or a traffic complaint or domestic or suicidal, no matter what it is.
Yep.
They need all the information and all the resources that I can provide for them. So that's why I'm asking the questions that I am.
Yeah. And we don't even know the backstory. You know, sometimes people will give you the information and you need to ask a little bit more, and they say, well, or vice versa, they start back in 1976. Well, the first time we went on a date, and you're like,
no. Need to know what's going on today.
Yeah.
What happened just now?
Yeah. You have to have a very powerful personality to be a 911 dispatcher. I can tell, Crystal, you seem like the little bit more of the quieter one.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, you've been picking on me the whole time, so I think you're a little more outgoing. But it's interesting,
because I don't have any pens in my...
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's right.
And Crystal's also on my side of the table, so I can hit her a lot quicker than I can hit Jen. But it's interesting, though. You know, you have a quiet dispatcher, you have a really outgoing dispatcher, but you kind of have to be able to be in control even when you feel like everything else is spinning out of control. You know, everything else out there. So that's a great thing, though, to tell your callers, is just, I need to know for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason behind everything I'm doing. And unfortunately, in an injury accident, I can't explain to you all the reasoning behind it, but I promise there is one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised at how much we expect out of callers. Do you know what
point.
I mean? Like, as far as where you're at, are you north or south of this intersection? Are you, you know, because if I were, if I were driving and got into, you know, an accident, I mean, I remember calling in a slide off into the ditch, and I called my own center and mm-hmm. I said, hey, I'm on the side of the road with a car.
Yeah. Okay, Jen.
And they were like, where are you? And I turned around and, you know, thank goodness there were street signs. I'm right at just south of this intersection. And so then they were like, okay, what are you doing there? And I was like, right. Car in the ditch.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I slipped back. I'm one of my callers.
But it's amazing how much more aware of that we are now as dispatchers. When mm-hmm. everyone else isn't a dispatcher, how are they supposed to know what they're supposed to be looking for as they're driving down the road or
yep. true,
you know,
yeah.
surroundings and that sort of thing?
Last night, Ricardo and I were talking. I hung up with the phone and I said, I kind of lost my patience with that guy. And Ricardo said, why? And I said, well, I asked him where he was on the freeway. And all he told me, he gave me a stretch. It was like 4 miles. Oh, I'm in between this mile marker and this mile marker. And I was like, yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to try to narrow it down a little bit. Where do you think you're at? And we narrow it down a little bit further. And I'm trying to clarify if he's on the ditch side or if he's on the shoulder side. I'm sorry, if he's on the meat, now I'm leading
like
into my
like asleep.
Yeah, I'm leading into my story a little
You're
too fast
into the
here. I'm trying to figure out if he's in the median or off on the shoulder there.
There you go.
And he's kind of getting frustrated with me, but it was snowing so bad out there that mm-hmm. I knew if they came up on it, it was going to be hard for them to try to zip over the freeway if they came up on the wrong side of the highway there. So I asked him, and he said, again, I have this in my notes verbatim. He said it's down in the ditch in the median. But I paused there because where that's at, I looked at Ricardo and I said, I paused because it's not real ditchy there. And he said, what? And I said, you know, right where I'm talking, it's not real ditchy. I said, it's just kind of like flat median that goes across the other lane. And so Ricardo was laughing about that. And I said, is it on the median side, sir? Or is it over off the shoulder down in the ditch? He kind of huffed back at me and he said, again, verbatim, it's in the median, off the side of the shoulder, down in the ditch. And I just said, okay. So I put in the narrative. I was like, I'm unable to clarify which side of the freeway it's on.
Combination of all three.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then the funniest part about it was that every time I was asking him a question, he was using check for yes. Check. Yeah. Check. Yeah. So I said, does that sound about right to you, sir? Check. And, you know, sometimes people will tell you something and they kind of giggle and they say, done for. They yeah. think it's so funny and you look, you want to just.
I was like, I got to move on to the next
exactly.
call.
That's all you want to do on the phone. You're a real comedian there. But so then I said, he kept saying check for yes. And my narrative was all goofed up. My sentences didn't make a whole lot of sense because just kept throwing me off. Because here in Allegan, I don't know if it's the same in Ottawa or not, we say check if we're giving something out on the radio and we give it incorrectly.
Yes, right. Yeah, yeah, like, so check that.
Yeah, so he kept saying check, so I kept like waiting like, no, it is or it isn't?
Yeah, good question. You got a question? Yeah.
So I was waiting, and then one of our coworkers, Michelle, she was funny. I had asked a question later, and she just yelled from the other side of the room, check!
Yeah, that's going to be a
keeper. Yeah.
We'll keep that one there in dispatch.
Yeah, but location is really important, and it's really good. If you can't tell us a street sign and you can't see any big things like a water tower or stuff like that, let us know what you can see around us. I've noticed coming in and out of work when I'm traveling down 131, one of the main highways in our county here, I'm looking at billboards, and I'm knowing at what exit what billboards are up. You know, around our Gun Lake Casino exit, there's actually a competing casino that has a billboard up just a little bit further south from
it. Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah, so I'm noticing stuff like that now. And I tell people, do you see the casino exit or do you see the billboard for such and such casino? And they'll say, it's right behind me. And I know that they're just past the 61 mile marker, stuff like that. So, you know, if you're not a 911 dispatcher, you're just tuning in to hear us, whatever you can tell us, whatever you can see around you.
Yeah, any landmarks, anything like
that.
Yeah,
that's it. The more information.
Big help for
And
us.
If I don't know what you're talking about, someone else in the room might. So I'll bounce it off someone else in the room because.
Who you know lives in that area or whatnot.
Right, exactly. I'm not too familiar with the north end of the county, but the south mm-hmm. end of the county, no problem. So it just depends who's in the room with you too.
Yep. It's very true.
Yeah, that definitely helps. I used to live in Holland. And I live in Zeeland, so a lot of the stuff like South Washington and all that area there, you know, people will call up and they'll say, I'm on so-and-so address, Matterman Drive. Okay, I'm in Allegan County. Well, yes, however.
But. Yeah, geographically you are, but Holland City has been annexed into Ottawa County. And they're like, no, I'm in Allegan County. And you just can't
fight. They called me a liar once.
Yeah.
I got called a liar once and I said,
do you want me to prove
that?
Do you want me to prove this?
Like, why would you say that to me? I'm so hurt. No, I didn't say that. But yeah, I was called a liar once because of the whole Matt Urban thing. I'm like, no, I'm serious. It is. It's in a different county.
Just for people who aren't familiar, Allegan, you know, we have a pretty straight line border with Ottawa County, but Highland City, the furthest city south in Ottawa County, it does dip into Allegan, 4 miles maybe? It's a good
like
chunk.
That.
It's not just like one road comes into Allegan.
It splits at 30 seconds.
And people know that they're in Allegan County geographically, but yeah, like I said, it's been annexed mm-hmm. up into Ottawa County, and people get frustrated. But
yes, please be patient with both of our agencies, and don't call me a liar.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's hard for us because when we transfer up the call to Ottawa, we don't know who we're talking to. So then right. We run into a snafu there too.
You guys are gonna go back to your centers and be like, man, don't do that show. We just got destroyed because we don't give our names. Oh, that's funny. Well, thank you very much, both of you, Jen and Crystal, for joining us for this episode number 6. And this is going to be our wrap up. We're actually coming up on 1 hour. Wow. Did it seem that long?
It did not seem that
no.
long.
No.
Not after we started.
It didn't seem as long as your trip down here.
No. Right. That was interesting.
I was kind of concerned because I saw, Jen, that you had posted on Facebook that you were en route, and I told Ricardo, I said, I don't know who they think they are, but in Allegan County, we don't text while we drive.
I said,
Crystal,
no worries.
Better be driving.
She was texting and also navigating me here.
So that's awesome. Why it took you 6 weeks to get here?
Yes.
It's okay. I've only been awake for 47 hours right now.
Yeah. Seriously. They're gonna say, nobody else is going to do this show.
No. Did you guys have a good time?
We did.
Yeah, definitely.
We are really thankful that you guys came down here. It's great to put some faces with, well, not even with your name, but.
Faces with your voices. Yeah. Yeah. Some faces with Ottawa. For anything, you guys can always reach us by email. There's actually a couple of them that we have going right now. One of the main ones is the jcast@thejabberlog.com, but another one that you'll be getting a lot of your responses from is going to be from Whitney, and that one is wttpodcast@gmail.com. And you can always follow us at Jabberlog on Twitter, as well as at RM2Visions. The number 2 is a Roman numeral 2, and all of these episodes can be found at the Jabberlog.com. I just bit my tongue as I was trying to do that. TheJabberlog.com is where you can find it 24/7. I might be bleeding now. Right. But one quick shout out, because he helped us out, spread out some information on the open call that we had. Daniel with Nighttime Dispatch Radio, thank you very, very much. You can check him. I believe he's out every day, or every night, actually. And if you guys are working the night shift or just up late and you want to listen to some good tunes, he is spinning them all night. You can also find him at the nighttimedispatchradio.com. So that'll be the wrap-up. Thank you very much once again.
We'll talk to y'all soon. Thanks.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.